Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
There are three kinds of laws in the Old Testament. One, civil laws. These are the political laws of Israel. A second kind of law is a ceremonial law. And we see the ceremonial laws in the Old Testament, particularly related to worship. But a third kind of law is the moral law. These are principles and precepts that apply to all ages and all people. So yes, these words are relevant.
On today's PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about how Jesus sets you free to live for Him. Now here's Dr. Graham with his message, The Path to Freedom and Fulfillment.
Turn in your Bibles to the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. And many of you will already recognize, the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus contains the 10 commandments. Now, not everyone knows that. In fact, many people don't know that. I heard about a large Northeastern university, a major Northeastern university. In a classroom, the professor asked the students to name and number the 10 commandments from top to bottom. No one in the class could name all 10 in any order. And then they put all their minds together, and together the entire class of this major Northeastern university of 18 to 22 year olds could not together come up with the 10 commandments. And while that's certainly true in the world, unfortunately, it may be true in the church today. Many do not know the commandments of God. And how can we know how to live if we don't live by the guidelines that God has given us? Add to the ignorance of our times regarding God's commandments in a world of moral ambivalence and ambiguity, add to the ignorance the arrogance of our times, which says, we don't need commandments anymore. As a matter of fact, you can't even say what is right and what is wrong, because you get to choose in this culture what is right and what is wrong. Commandments are out. Duty is no longer a virtue. In fact, virtue is even mocked in our generation. The prophet Isaiah said, woe to them who call evil good and good evil, who call darkness light and light darkness, who call sweetness bitter and bitterness sweet. The prophet would say today, woe to a generation that doesn't know right from wrong. Is there a right? Is there a wrong? While the commandments are out, I'll tell you what is in. What is in is relativism. Born and bred in the 60s, the revolution of the 60s, relativism has now captured the minds of our nation. Relativism suggests that you can't firmly or finally say what is right, what is wrong, what is truth. There is no such thing as true truth. You may have your truth, I may have my truth, but all truth is relative. Right and wrong, that's up to you. And so we have made ourselves our own gods in determining what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. And as a result, we have been setting new records for irreverence and crudeness and crassness and deception and dishonesty and violence and sexual promiscuity and perversion and other pathologies that are the consequences of sin in people's lives. Families are breaking down. Suicides are up. Abortions. The killing of the innocent. No wonder the prophet said, if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? And our culture is crumbling internally and spiritually and morally, because the commandments of God have been disregarded and disobeyed. And many are suggesting, even in the church today, well, we don't need the commandments. Are the commandments really relative? Well, God's law is like a lens, a high definition lens, by which we see our lives and act accordingly. A mirror from the Word of God, and therefore our personal choices and character, our business behavior, our community and family values, our social and cultural morals and mores, our conduct. These all come ultimately from the Ten Commandments. And yet today our children are not being raised on the commandments, but media and movies, music, teach a values-free, morally neutral worldview. Kids today, I repeat, are taught, for the most part, a values-free, morally neutral worldview. And that simply means that with the images and sounds that glamorize a life that opposes God and immorality that mocks the Bible, we now have a generation that does not know God. And so you don't dare tell anyone what is right or what is wrong, or suggest that there is a right or there is a wrong. The prophet Hosea says, "My people die for a lack of knowledge." So do we need the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. And I mean absolutely. Because these commandments of God are not obsolete, they are absolute. And we have a generation of young men and women, along with a generation of parents, who need this knowledge of God's Word. Now, many people don't like commandments. The whole idea of rules and commandments is a turnoff. In one sense, we have given people in the world the idea that we are just against things. And we're often known more for what we're against than what we're for. There's a place for boycotts, there's a place for protests. But primarily, our responsibility is not to protest, but to proclaim the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And to be known what we are for, because positively, the Christian life is ultimately an up, it's onward and upward. We don't live rigid, wretched, restrictive, miserable lives in Christ. We have fun. There is great joy when we live by the commandments of God. So we're going to be taking a fresh look, a new look at the Ten Commandments. And you have them right in front of you in your Bibles in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. And I'm going to read them and we're going to number them together. And today is an introductory message, but one by one, we're going to cover the commandments and what they mean and how they apply. But just in case you don't know these commandments, just mark 1, 2, 3 all the way through 10 in your Bible as we read them and review them. Verse 1 of chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's commandment number 1. Commandment number 2 begins in verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation to those who hate me. But, here's the positive, showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Commandment number 3 is verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Jumping down to the end of verse 11, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Commandment number 5 is seen in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, you shall not steal. Number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, female servant, his ox, donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. So there you have God's perfect 10.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Path to Freedom and Fulfillment. God's called us to be salt and light in this dark, decaying culture, but you can't show others the way unless you know it yourself. Discover what God's Word says about some of the most controversial issues of our time with Pastor Graham's book, CultureWise. This resource is our way to say thank you for your donation to help PowerPoint proclaim the gospel. So call now to get your copy of CultureWise when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And remember, if you miss any part of today's broadcast, you can hear PowerPoint with Jack Graham 24 hours a day at jackgrahamradio.com. Now let's get back to today's message, The Path to Freedom and Fulfillment.
So the question is, does this apply to me as a follower of Jesus? Because you may be thinking, well, Pastor, this is all about Moses and the Old Testament. Aren't we about Jesus and the New Testament? Well, let me remind you that there are three kinds of laws in the Old Testament. One, civil laws. These are the political laws of Israel. But these civil laws specifically applied to Israel. A second kind of law is a ceremonial law. And we see the ceremonial laws in the Old Testament, particularly related to worship and the offering of sacrifices and the presenting of the worshiper in the cleansing and all of the ceremonial experiences. These ceremonial laws were given to Israel to worship the Lord God. But a third kind of law is the moral law. And while civil laws and ceremonial laws were given to Israel, the moral law of God is given to all. These are principles and precepts that apply to all ages and all people. So yes, these words are relevant. I want to begin by saying the law of God is perfect. In the New Testament, James, the half-brother of our Lord, spoke of the perfect law of liberty, the law of God. All 10 commandments, each law that God gives, is essential. These laws are comprehensive and complete. Try as you will, you could not come up with an 11th commandment. Even when Jesus gave that commandment to love your neighbor as I have loved you, love one another as I have loved you, that is an application of the laws of God. These truths are timeless. They are changeless. And yes, they are absolute. For one reason, God spoke them. See there in verse 1? And God spoke these words. This is not human imagination. This is divine revelation. God verbally gave these laws. These are not the laws of Moses. These are the laws of God. And not only did God speak them, but when Moses went to Mount Sinai to receive the tablets, the scriptures are so bold to claim that God wrote these on tablets of stone with his own finger. These are written originally by the hand of Almighty God. Now, the Ten Commandments, the perfect law of God, perfectly relates to all relationships in our lives. The first four commandments have to do with our vertical relationship with God. Beginning with, you shall have no other gods before me. The first four relate to our worship of God. Who is God and how do we worship him? Beginning at number 5, which is a kind of hinge commandment, moving from God to society, the home, the fifth commandment through the 10th commandment, these are horizontal. These are our relationships with others. And so, in summary, you have our relationship with God and our relationship with one another and culture and civilization, as it were, all here in the Ten Commandments. Well, after all, Jack, this is Old Testament stuff, even said, aren't we now under grace and no longer under the law? What did Jesus say about that? Don't take my word. Take the word of Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and following. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. If you teach your little children, your family, the commandments of God, you will be great in the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. And oh, by the way, Jesus not only said, I've come to fulfill, not to abolish, but to complete. The word fulfill there means to complete, to carry out, to accomplish it. Jesus took the commandments right to the heart. He took it to a higher and even a holier standard, not an outward standard. That's legalism. But to write the commandments of God on our hearts. He said things like, you've said if you kill, you have broken the commandments. He said if you have raucous anger in your heart for someone, you have murdered them in your heart. Said the same thing about adultery and lust. He raised the standard of the commandments. He didn't bring us to the least resistance, but he raised the standard and took it right to the heart. Did you know that Jesus himself submitted himself to the authority of God's commands? In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, we're told that Jesus was born of woman under the law. Under the law. In other words, Jesus himself kept the commandments of God. He brought himself to submission to all the commandments of God, and he never broke any of God's commandments. And he's the only one who's ever done that, who can ever claim that. And the perfect law of life and liberty brings us up short. One day, a young student of the law came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment? And immediately Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That's the first and greatest. And then he said, the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus, in those words, summarized the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God's heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first four. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the last six. But they still apply. God, in Christ, confirmed his standards. And therefore, these commandments represent the perfect law of God. But not only the perfect law of God, but God's law is protective. God's law is perfect, and these Ten Commandments are also protective. In the words of Moses, Deuteronomy, he speaks of the protective word of God. How God's word and God's law protect us. Why? So that we will live well upon the earth. He said, be careful to obey these laws of God that it may go well with you and your family as you live in the land that I have given you. So when God gives us commandments, rules by which we are to live. These are not restrictive, they are protective. If you care about your children, you learn to tell them no. Don't touch that stove, it's hot. Don't play in the street. Don't pick up that snake. And we have a caring, loving Heavenly Father who wants to protect us from those very things that will harm us and ultimately destroy us. God's law is protective. God's law is perfect. God's law is powerful, meaning it restrains evil in civilization. All of civilization is built upon the Ten Commandments. You can't explain history or civilization apart from the Ten Commandments. God's law is purifying in the church and in the culture, in the Christian. But let's wrap this up by saying that God's law is purposeful. Ultimately, what is the purpose of God's law? Galatians 3:24 tells us. The New Testament tells us that the Old Testament laws of God, the moral laws of God, are like a guardian to guide us to grace. Like a schoolmaster teaching us the most important lesson at all, that these commands point us to Christ. Why? Because we have broken God's commandments. We have failed and we need to be forgiven. And most people have the idea that to be forgiven, what we need to do is to try harder, to be better, that salvation is a do-it-yourself project, that going to heaven is a matter of doing more good things than bad things in your life. But God gave us the commandments to teach us, instruct us, to show us like a mirror that shows us our true self in light of the glory of God, the perfection of God, the laws of God. And therefore, we are guilty. But there is an answer. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all of its legal demands. This He set aside by nailing it to the cross. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves, what the law could never do for us, or keeping the law. The law can never do one thing. The law can never save. The law can convict us, but the law cannot convert us. This is why we need the good news. This is why we need Jesus. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new in Christ. So salvation is not in and of ourselves or in keeping the commandments, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. Yet the average person thinks that they go to heaven by trying to live a good life. Listen to me. I'm not going to heaven because I've lived a good life. I'm going to heaven because of what Christ has done for me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is only by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that we are cleansed and changed and converted. And then, according to these disciplines of grace, because we love Him, because what He has done for us, we want to live according to His laws, live in the liberty of His life. And Jesus lives in us now. The one who kept the law perfectly lives in us to empower us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm no longer restricted in bondage to my sin. God said, I've brought you out of the land of bondage. I've brought you out of the land of Egypt. And now you are free to live for me. Yes, the commandments of God are life-giving and liberating. And I believe God is calling a people today to rise above the ignorance and the moral depravity of our times and the arrogance of relativism, and to rise above and live definitive Christian lives, because Christ, by His grace, now disciplines us and lives in us that we may live according to His Word.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Path to Freedom and Fulfillment. How do you stand for biblical marriage in an unbiblical culture, or protect the life of the unborn in a society that doesn't honor life? Find answers to these questions and more when you get Pastor Graham's book, CultureWise. This relevant resource is our way to thank you for your gift to help PowerPoint proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So call now to get your copy of CultureWise when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, I'm very excited about the opportunity to talk about the Ten Commandments in this series, because so many people are captured by the idea of relativism. That's the idea that you can't firmly or finally say what is right and what is wrong. And there's a lack of moral clarity in our culture today. So the idea of rules or commandments flies in the face of what so many people today believe. And yet God has given us these Ten Commandments. And not only do they provide lessons for what we are not to do, but what we are to do. But God gave us the Ten Commandments not to only restrict us from certain things, but to protect us from certain things, so that we will live well on the earth, to live high-definition lives, clarified lives on the earth. So whether you are at work or parenting your children or teaching your children, these commandments are for you, and they are for you and your family today. So turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Get ready as we go one by one through the Ten Commandments that God has given us.
And that is today's PowerPoint. When you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise, to say thanks for your gift. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, next time, Dr. Graham brings a message about why you can only worship God on His own terms. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.